Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey, Power Movers, how are we doing? So today we have Charlie from KUB Digital. Is that right?
That's the one. Nice to be here.
Great. Thank you for joining me. Back in the journey of taking the lessons from all these business owners and entrepreneurs that are out there. And we've spoken a few times now, and every time it's an interesting conversation. We're going to have to make sure we don't go on for 3 hours, as we tend to do that. And welcome. And yeah, just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do and how you do it.
Oh, absolutely. Right now, because as you're probably going to learn through today, I had many careers, as the typical entrepreneur can fall into. No, we're basically, what KUB is, it's called a fractional agency. It's a new term, I can imagine many people don't know what that is. I like to keep things nice and simple. So if you're a 1 to 5 million turnover business and you want to get to that magical 10 million, I will then pair you up with a fractional chief marketing officer or a fractional chief revenue officer. We then underpin that with a full team of freelancers who are specialists in their area of marketing and sales. And that is all, again, supported by systems and AI and automation. And what the result is, you get a whole plug and play team all tailored to what is the needs of your business, what's the constraints that's stopping you from getting where you need to be. And we will run on a cycle every 90 days to keep working on how we can keep leveling you up. As a real short snapshot, it's different, it's unusual, but it's very of the best of all the worlds that we have in our gig economy that we have now these days in 2025.
You've done this before, I can tell.
I've done this before.
Let's dig in. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's start with my favorite little story of how you started. How did you decide to go away from being the non-entrepreneur to the entrepreneur?
I wasn't even the non-entrepreneur. We skipped over that phase fast. So if we go back 15 years now, for context to the listeners, I, as a child and as a teenager, was an elite athlete. So my main sports was in swimming, and I was grateful enough to be in that top 1%. So I went to the British champs, I was doing international engagements, I went to the Olympic trials, for example, which was a really big highlight of my career. And the reason why I mentioned it is I always struggled with allergies. So I always struggled with dairy allergy from a kid. Typically, like, I was always that kid that kind of had eczema, you see running around and things. But there was an incident when I was 15, 16, where I decided to swim the English Channel. Now, if anybody has ever swam in any of the English waters, you will know that it is not...
Just by itself.
You know, we're not talking lovely blue holiday waters here. We're talking the real grimy stuff. And I can confirm it is, in fact, grimy and grim. Anyway, to cut a short, long story short, I got very sick from that. And what actually happened was having a dairy allergy where I had celiacs in my genes, it fired the genome gun to then really then go and turn it into celiacs. And then what that has turned into over recent years, what's called mast cell syndrome. Essentially, I like to keep things simple, it's the immune system basically wants to attack everything constantly. So you have very high inflammation in the body. You then get lots and lots of different symptoms, from brain fog to gut issues to skin issues. It has all of these different things that affect your life. And obviously, if I was trying to be top 1%, top 0.5% in different sport, in sports, that's going to have an impact on your training. It's going to have an impact on your life and travel and stuff. And that age of 16, 17, when you're just trying to figure out hormones and school and life, I can tell you there was a lot going on in that period of
Oh,
time.
it sounds like it, huh? Yeah.
My reaction to all of these things happening to me was to start a blog. Because, and this was when Instagram was a thing that just launched. So we're talking like 2012, 10, 11, 12. And my reaction was, I can't be the only one going through this experience. There has to be other people also going through this experience where I was having to change my diet, I was having to change what I was doing, I was having to figure all of these things out. So I started documenting what that was. So being at seven, like I said, 16, 17, 18, that's what I did. I was just like really getting into photography. I was really getting into the writing, blogging, SEO, building websites. I was getting my brain into all of this. And so on my 19th birthday, my dad bought me a business. He bought me a limited company with the certificate and everything to then make it into something that could start to ch turn change into making revenue and things. Now, this is what I was saying, like, we completely skipped over the whole non-entrepreneurial bit. So for, again, extra context, my dad has always been an entrepreneur. He's always run the family business. And so I'd already been doing things in the family business from the age of five. So for me to naturally just go and do these things and go, hey, yeah, cool, we've got a business at 19. To me, it wasn't risky. It wasn't anything. It was just normal. It was very normalized in the family when you're surrounded by entrepreneurs. That then evolved into a healthy brownie made from organic ingredients. This was peak paleo time in America, and I was importing and exporting brownies to mainly, maybe obviously England, Italy, and Portugal, because they had such a bigger audience, gluten-free audience. And then my factory, this wonderful factory in Ireland, who was big supportive of me. And I decided to close that business because of this very little thing called Brexit. Might have heard of it. And if you're importing and exporting on a very tiny island, you have to make some decisions on where you need to go next, of how this, because that business model just was gone essentially overnight. And then I had to make some tough decisions there. So that was 2000, obviously 2016, 2017. So
How was it going before you did that? Where were you in the journey?
I'd gone from product developing and making all of the brownies myself from the kitchen to, say, I was with the factory, working with the factory, with them doing then the production of it. And I just had made that leap as well. So I just had made that kind of scary jump from, yay, I'm out of the kitchen, because there was a few kitchens before that. I went from the ki went from the home kitchen. I managed to get some EU funding to go into a commer like a co almost like a co-working commercial space kitchen, which was fantastic to have an hour down the road from us. And then yeah, I'd gone through the whole process of finding a factory. Now, to do, not to labor the point, but to go into to be a BSC accredited factory where I was non-competing with other products within their factory, as well as using high organic materials with a very innovative way of making this product. It was the only place I could find. It took me about a year to find this place.
Wow.
So you can imagine the sheer amount of work had gone into all of this to then have to make that decision where I had to stop it. I just like literally had to stop it
That's
overnight.
what I love about entrepreneurs, right? Yeah, we don't see problems. Yeah, there are problems there, but we don't see problems. We're like, okay, so how can I fix this? How can I fix this? How can I fix this? What's the opportunity I have now to do something? You went from, okay, here's a massive problem, Brexit, not something you could fix. Let's do something else.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's just such a positive energy with so many entrepreneurs as they go through the journey. Because we have to be able to see things in the way of, okay, if you were to get knocked down by every single little problem,
Oh my God, there'd be nothing left of you. Like,
Monday morning by 10 o'clock, you're done, right?
yeah, absolutely. And I struggle a lot with this whole Instagram hustle culture that entrepreneurship is glamorized. And it's like, yes, there is some great stuff about it. We literally were just talking about we like to travel. And my friends call me up and go, "Where are you?" rather than asking me, like, "How are you?" because we have that ability, that mobility to go anywhere we want and still be able to do what we love and things. But it does come with so much grit and resilience. That's really the only hard part about business. It's not really actually solving the problems or doing the work, it's the emotions that you carry as you go through the journey.
Yeah, and that for me is such an important part of the journey, right? Actually understanding that you are a mental being in a mental body, and you have to look after your own mental health and wellness. And you've obviously had the challenges with your health, and I hope that's all going well now. You look amazing.
It
Oh, it is.
is. Thank you very much. I am in my 30s. It's the skincare routine. No, I do have now a really fantastic nutrition coach because it's one of those things that's never going to constantly stay the same. It does slightly evolve and change, and it will evolve and change over again at the time. But I recognize if I didn't have some level of control around it, it was going to negatively spiral, and I'd rather it. What it does is remains the same, or actually sometimes positively spirals. And so we can get onto like why coaches are so important. And so I've worked with my nutrition coach like the last 3 years, and just having that person in your corner supporting you, just helping you just level the brain when the brain's spiraling, or I'll have a flare up or something. That just saves so much time in brain energy that I focus then on the business.
I love that, that brain energy point. I'm going to dig into that quickly. So we wake up in the morning, right? And we've only got so much energy for today.
Oh yeah, we've only got so many spoons, is how I say it.
It's okay, so many spoons. I haven't used that one before. And if we're not in the most positive frame of mind, if we're not in the most physically powerful frame of mind, and if we're not clearing our minds out for all the stuff that we don't need to worry about, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to worry about yesterday. Then we lose all that energy during the day. You get to the end of that day, and I've been there. I've been there many times. You get to the end of the day, and you're like, "What have I actually done today? Right. I don't know what I've done." And typically, all I've done is worried about tomorrow and worried about yesterday.
Exactly. And so then you start, but then you carry on that spiral, then you that then turns into a week, that then turns into a month, that then turns into a year. And before you know it, you're actually further away from your goal than actually you wanted to be. So I will put it out there, 100% I'm not perfect, but I do at least try and do the 1%. At least try. Like, for instance, my calendar management, that is one of the biggest determining factors to whether you're going to be successful or not. So at least look at how my calendar is structured, and am I achieving that structure 80% of the time? I'm not even looking for perfection because it's not going to happen. I'm just looking for the at least 80% of the time we're hitting to a structure, and is that structure helping me go to where I need to go?
I do something with my calendar based around the energy. So I schedule meetings in the afternoon because that's where I need less energy. I schedule my brain thinking stuff. When I finish my morning routine, and we'll ask you about yours after this, but when I finish my morning routine, I've got from 7 o'clock until 10 or 11 o'clock that I'm on fire. I go. So I put the stuff that I need to design and go and do in that time. Do you have it?
Yeah, it is. So I'll go through it. Oh yeah, I'll go through it because it's structured around energy, but it's also structured around time zones as well. Because I work, a lot of my UK clients are actually UAE now these days. I live obviously in New York, so I'm on Eastern time zone. So obviously having lots of European, UK, Irish clients, and then I have a lot of West Coast, East Coast, American, Canada. That
Didn't
is.
make it easy for yourself, did
No, that's a 16-hour day, people.
Yeah.
No, but this is the point. This is the point of why I have a team, and I'm very grateful for them. So my structure is Monday morning, is pretty much all internal. So from probably 7:30 to about 1:30, it's working with the team, making sure the team are all set up, they have everything, they feel supported, and we have that great relationship. Then, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, again from 7:30 to about 12 is pretty much back-to-back meetings, because that's when I've got the most energy as well to be talking and engaging with people, to be able to fire and things like that. And yeah, so then in the afternoon, it is my deep focus, get things done, let's be pragmatic. In the summertime, I'm an outdoors person, so I'll go sit in the outside and do all of that work. So then I'm giving myself energy in different ways. In the winter, it's obviously a lot more challenging. So then I might head to a co-working space. So I change up the environment to, you make sure I am working in the most focused way. And then Friday afternoons, it is primarily about cleaning the week off. So making sure the important things are boxed off. Anything that is not important gets eliminated. And that is so that my weekend is prioritized for rest. And that can be social rest, that can be active rest, that can be fun rest, that can be I went to climbed a mountain last week, went to the beach. It's that athlete brain of we're 5 days on, 2 days off, 5 days on, 2 days off, and that works for me.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Where are we going? Where are we going as a society as we step into this next 2 years of total unknown with AI, with the entire, I try and stay so far away from the negative of it because I think we have such a positive tool we can use. And it's almost like a constant battle to keep the negative out and just, I can do what I can do with it. But where do you think we're going? How are you seeing it?
You like to ask the big questions, Roy. Yes. There's a short answer for me. This is probably just more represents my brain. It's somewhere in the grey. I don't believe this is an absolute of black and white. When you have any societal behaviour changes, there is always going to be pros and cons with it. So, just quickly, pro. At the sheer amount of work and volume of work and quality of work that I've done this year in comparison to the last 10 years is not even quantifiable. It is astounding, just like the speed at which you can go if you've just got that backing of knowledge of a subject, so you know how to ask the right questions. So I feel fortunate that I've developed a good skill, and I really have worked at this, so I feel confident to say that I'm good at it about knowing how to ask the right questions, whether it's an audience or whether it's a tool like AI. The negatives that I could probably perceive, which could be very tailored to an individual personality, is when we go to university or when we go to building a business and solving problems, when we go into thinking through some of the hard challenges that determine our character. So obviously going through a whole bunch of hard work and resilience through, done it through sports, I've done it through business. It does create a certain character of yourself and your identity. If the younger generation have been given a tool like AI, which will gives them convenience, it's not going to challenge them to the same level, so they're not going to get the same level of resilience on hard work. And the conversation I had recently, which could be like the comparable, is so I climbed a mountain. Me and my husband climbed a mountain. It's a very small mountain, by the way, but still a mountain.
Own it, own it. That's the mark.
I got the blisters. It counts.
Sure.
In upstate New York last week, and we were just talking about orienteering. So, as a child, I've got great, great spatial awareness. So, being in the car, navigating for my mum with the big road map, and then doing orienteering at school, I was actually really very good because I just had that visual brain that could just anticipate the next steps. And I loved it. I loved doing it. But that was obviously like the map format. Now, we have GPS, we have sat navs, we have all of these guidance systems, we satellite phones and things, and you almost lose that critical thinking on how do you read a map in order to determine where you are, where you need to be. Because so it's great, it's a great tool. I love my sat nav. But one thing that's been noticeable with just this use case is people no longer just knowing how to read signs on the motorway or on the road in order to get to a location. So as soon as that tool goes away, then they're lost. And that's the income use case parable of what could potentially happen. But you, I don't know, you
I think,
don't.
yeah, I'm going to take it a slightly different way, right?
Yeah, go for it. Because I could be very much wrong on this. We don't know.
The way that we learned how to do things, okay, yeah, growing up, the way we learned was a certain way, right? The way that, we learned how to think. We were taught to think, in school, where we just actually had to learn the books and do the stuff and do a couple of things. Now we don't have to think like that anymore. Does that open up the power for the young generation to actually have a whole new way of thinking? I'm looking at AI now and I'm seeing how, I'm having an evolution of my own thinking. My thinking is becoming so much better and so much more powerful because I'm able to think outside my brain. And when I say think outside my brain, beforehand I used to absorb the information, read books, and do the work and do the studies, and then I'd process inside, then I'd output out. But now I'm more and more seeing, okay, I don't have to do all of that. Like yesterday, this week, I've been learning how to code more on n8n and Claude code and all these things. And what I'm noticing is there's an AI architect type of role that's out there. I call it the VCAIO, so it's the Virtual Chief AI Officer. There's this role that's out there that, the more you have the experience you're talking about, the more you have the various things you can draw in, the more you can get out of it. So does that mean that the people that are entrepreneurs or are driven towards it, they will find that way of working? There's always going to be those people that are more lazy and those people, that's fine. That's just them. But I think there's going to be a whole bunch of people that learn a different way of thinking.
This is, and that's why I do say when we get down to the individual level, it really is going to be a chasm. There's going to be such a massive gap of how people approach it. And then this is where my brain goes, because I went to a very old style traditional school way of schooling. Like the curriculum hadn't really changed from the 19 since the 1950s. And any generation older than me as well also going to have a very similar way of going through the rote Dickensian school system. So is really the problem with AI, or is it actually with the schooling system, and are they going to be able to keep up? That would be my first kind of question mark. Secondly, in the past month, I've met, I think I would say about five or six 19, 20-year-old entrepreneurs who was me as well 10 years ago. And the sheer quality that they are producing compared to what I was doing 10 years ago, and the speed of which they are nailing every little detail is phenomenal. It's mind-blowing to me in that the things I work with a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old, very experienced business person and CEO, not marketing specialist, because obviously that's why I'm on board. These people I'm talking to they are trying to be the marketing specialist. But since they've already got 4 or 5 years worth of experience at 19 and 20, because they're all starting at 16 in their bedroom and they've got their hands on all of these tools, like I said, learning to code, learning what the frameworks are. They've got all of this free content on YouTube of anything that they want to learn. And if, like you said, if they've got any, and if the person has any problem-solving skills, or they've got any drive behind them, the speed to market is phenomenal. So I could go on more and more of just do's. If we're using the same tools and we're using the tools the same way, are we going to basically just have the same things as the output? Or is, like I said, because the admin is being done a lot more, do we allow ourselves time and more room for creativity to be more maverick?
I think that creativity piece, I have to believe. I believe, deeply inside my soul that we're now going into the stage of humanity where the run-of-the-mill stuff that we had to do all the time, that doesn't have to be done anymore. AI can take that away. And we now, instead of having a company where we have to work 8 hours or 10 hours a day, you can have a company where your staff work 4 or 5 hours a day and they can live a better life.
I'm going to actually disagree on this one. I don't think that I would love that to happen. I'd absolutely love that to be the case of when it happens. Because I know we've mentioned big Star Trek fan, and there's this world of possibility where the whole world is united in order to do a bigger task and things. And the reason why I just wanted to cut in and be like, I think it's going to happen because after having, if you, I'm a big fan of studying history, patterns in behavior. You can tell why I'm a marketer. But, and that is, if we look over the past 100 years of the technology evolution that we've had already, we've gone from a single income household of predominantly one gender doing the main workforce, them working, we have the 9 to 5 because of the industrial era with the factories in order so that people would turn up on time. We have a rotationary shift in order to maximize the efficiency of that time. Then obviously computers came in, mobiles has come in, and extended the work hours in order for this goal of efficiency and capitalism to grow more. And so we've had this more mentality within Western cultures, by the way. I can only speak, I'm not going to speak, I don't know enough about Eastern cultures or any other cultures. I can only speak predominantly, obviously, Europe and the Americas, to be trying to maximize the amount of hours in the day towards a common goal. And so, unless there is this big culture shift, which we have started to see, and that's why I'm like, I'm hoping it does happen, where people are seeing that we are humans, that we are complex house plants, that we do should only really be working 4 hours a day these days, 4 hours a week, sorry, these days as a workforce, because we're not an industrial era anymore. A lot's happened in 100, 120 years, and obviously this big shift with AI, but there will always still be the organizations and the companies that will want to work and push for the 12 hours a day. Like, I only have to talk about VC firms, people in finance, Wall Street. I live in New York. You can see that culture is ingrained into behaviors, and almost people are addicted to that behavior as well.
I hear you, and I'm still going to you because here's the thing, right?
Tell me otherwise, because I'll be happy for this. I want it.
Here's the thing. Our society is going to keep us doing culturally. We're going to keep on doing that what we know and have done, right? We stay in the comfort zone, right?
People don't like to change.
But when, and I hate the word, but it's just doesn't normally
It's
come to mind. When we have the
used
situation.
appropriately.
When we have the situation that there just isn't the work to do,
Ooh.
because now we're taking away, so we're automating 80% of any given company. So what are we going to do? Then we're going to have this time of really a little bit of messiness that I don't know what to do. And I think Diary of a CEO, they had a conversation about, and Raoul Powell, I think, also had a conversation about, right, what happens now when the food comes a lot easier because AI is growing more efficiently. We've worked out the power pieces and the processing pieces because AI has worked it out more easily. We don't have to do any of the jobs we're doing in the offices anymore. The humans have come to the surface wherever they can. So there's more customer service roles, there's more talking and doing. So then there just isn't the work anymore. What happens then? Then we're forced as a society to change. And the force will happen, I believe, because it is such a big change happening so quickly. And this is the total unknown. This is where people are going to get nervous and scared. And there's a messy time coming. But after we come out the messy time, government's going to have to come out and say, right, here's a living wage for you. Because how do you make money otherwise? When money is not much of a problem anymore, because we have food and because we have, for sure, there's the diehards will say, okay, the big corporations are going to take everything and everybody else is going to just be they're poor. But without the whole range of challenges we've had, they're talking about in 10 years' time, there will not be any medicine, that any disease left because. They're going to fix every medical problem. They're talking about in 2 years' time turning the genome off so that you can actually go back and get younger again. This is already the.
I've heard some of the stuff about AI in the medical space. It's wild.
The human testing is already coming. They can take rats and mice that are old, turn the genes around so that they become young and can see again. And then the hair color goes back again. And so, where are we? We can't even see where we're going to be in 2 years' time.
Out of all of this, one thing we can definitely agree on is there's going to be a messy time. There's going to be there's going to be a very messy time. But something that's just popped into my head as you've been talking, and that is, like you said, we've Our brains as humans definitely love to think in the abundance, as in we almost think we're infinite. We forget that we are a little bit finite.
You might be, I'm not.
That's true. But what I was thinking is some of the people who may have previously not been able to or been limited by or been scared to, we could see this increase of gig economy that's happening in people becoming more like micro businesses. It might actually spur on the entrepreneurial spirit because, like you said, things that would have had to taken five people to do. And we're already seeing this, to be honest. We're already seeing it. It's the start of this. It's what's taken 5 people or 10 people can now be done by one person. And because it can be done by one person, if they're already in an employment or they've been made unemployed, they're
What
obviously
are
going to
they
have
going to
more
do?
likely to go and start something. Again, the use case for that, 2020, lockdown happened. People went on furlough, had some life-changing conversations with their head. Tools with the businesses before 2020 and businesses after 20, very different. And we could see a lot more of this, gig economy, boutique economy, rather than necessarily these massive organizations that's been
You know,
proven.
we're now in this massive age of information, right? Where beforehand, in order to get information, we had to pay for it. And this is the other big piece that we're playing. So when I first started doing IT stuff in the late 90s in London, I went and got myself a big fat book like this. There was no internet. You couldn't go and look at the stuff online. And I paid my 70 quid for my CCNP book and I read it 15 times. Yeah, and then I went into the exam. And so we had to pay for information. When we put the printing press in, you had to pay a lot of money for books. Now we have information is freely available, and any information you could possibly want anywhere is freely available. So with this age of information, what are going to be the experiences that people want to grow and scale and go into? And everybody, I had a conversation earlier on today with somebody that helps with membership sites, which is awesome, right? Yeah, I've also had a conversation. One of my clients is a chap that he's in nature and he's in Norway and he helps young kids get back to nature and he helps business owners get back to nature. Yeah, and do we see a real growth of that? Do we see us going back to nature and being more kind of grounded? And
I hope so. I'm there for it. I hope
that's
so.
going to be so awesome. And we just have to leave these possibilities open, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. But and like I said, get a positive mindset, see these as tools, see these things as ways to help and support you on where you wanted to be go. And almost in my head is as long as you've got like that learning mentality, like you've just got that openness to keep learning, whether it takes you a long time or you're super quick at it, just be on that path.
Sure. Now, growing your business, growing and scaling your business, what are your biggest lessons?
Number one, as long as you've got new revenue coming in, you can fix anything. And that's all you need to do. It
That's true, huh?
is. You really, at the end of the day, you have to just win 24 hours. And then you're just going to win the next 24 hours and win the next 24 hours. Suddenly, that those 24 hours turn into 15 years. So we break it down a little bit more. Like the new revenue's coming in, so you've always got cash going into the cash cushion. So as long as you're disciplined about saving, that will give you the security to get and time. That's it, really. We're just talking about time to then solve the problem, do the research, figure out where you need to go. What? How do you need to restructure things? And then, which leads me on to point number two. It's have a direction. I know that sounds really simple,
I had a conversation, literally the call before this, I was having that conversation. Know where you're going.
how are you going? Like, it doesn't need to be completely, absolutely finite with this massive business plan. Just a general goal that is good enough. Because when in my head, I'm just like, if you have to make 101 micro little decisions every little day, it goes back to our previous conversation. So we have to make these micro little decisions every day, which then goes in, obviously, how many decisions you have to make over a week, how many decisions you have to make over a month. Where's your goalpost more than anything on what you're benchmarking your decisions on? Is this thing going to help me? Yes or no? Is this a distraction? Is this I don't know. Is this, do I actually have to do this? For example, you start then breaking it down and analyzing what it is. You're like, how do you then look at your calendar? Is it structured in the way that's going towards the goal I want it to be? So the business I have now is certainly not the business I want in 5 to 10 years' time, but it is a certainly a stepping stone to the direction I want to go. So I'm pretty happy with it needing to, so I know exactly what revenue it needs to be making in 12 months' time in order to do the next stepping stone of where I want it to go, to where I want it to grow and scale. And then also boiling it back down. Where do I spend my time? And but in the nicest way possible, I don't really want to be doing marketing for the next 20 to 30 years. But there is certainly stuff that's in and around marketing, sales, business strategy that I absolutely do want to do. And hence why I need to keep up with the times of, oh, how is the employee structure working? Marketing's very gig economy at the moment. How is business, what's the constraints that are stopping businesses? What tools are they available? All that jazz and things. So yeah, those are the two. I could go on, but I'd say those are the two biggest business
Yeah.
lessons because they
Yeah, I think that's
spiral.
yeah. That's so awesome. I mean that yeah, we teach people, we're gonna get people to really know what their vision is. What is your vision? Yeah, because if you have to have the energy to take you through the journey. And yeah, if you have your vision that you're actually helping and you're fixing a problem in the world and making a difference in people's lives, whatever that vision is, because that's what we do as entrepreneurs, right? We bring problem solving to people that need it. That's it. Right. Yeah. And yeah. But then if you this is your vision, how do your goals bring you to your vision? And just try and follow that path. And it just makes life so much more, yeah, or less messy, should we say? Because the other thing that we do as entrepreneurs, yeah, I have a real shiny shit problem. And
Don't
I
worry, we're all
oh.
magpies.
So how do I make sure I keep myself on the track? And I do, I'll come back to it today.
Yeah,
I've been listening.
absolutely.
Yeah, how you
'Cause
going?
there's two things of, I always say there's two things of why growing a business is hard. Because actually the fundamentals of the work, it's not actually that hard if you really just sit down, if you can just sit down and be disciplined 8 hours a day and you just know what the roadmap or path is and what the systems are and what everything is. That's not hard. You just have to do it. It's the obviously what we mentioned previously, it's the emotional roller coaster that you go through on that journey. Because you're doing so much work for no results for a long period of time with a big uncertainty whether those results will actually even come through after all of this work. And I can tell you, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you do stuff and those results will come bouncing back 2 months down the line in a very different version, but you already did the prep, so it was fine anyway. But I digress a little bit, but the second bit of what's really hard is there is now, we're in this age of information. There is so much information. There is so many different things you can do. There is so much, and that's, I was listing it off. That's overwhelming.
Let me say to AI, okay, I've got this great idea. Yeah, he'll tell you, yes, it's a great idea.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
like you said, what's you say? It's your yes man.
Yeah, yes, man. So it is really getting your own clarity and owning your own power. So I'm conscious of time, and we could probably carry on talking for another hour.
I
But
know.
yeah, let's you give us your one thing about business. So what is the one thing, yeah, if somebody's starting out their business right now or thinking about starting out the business, what's the one thing you'd say to them to drive them through the journey and experience that they have got to come?
What's the one thing? Can I have two?
Okay, you can have two.
You'll see why. If you're going to do a business, and I've had a few friends say that they want to do a business, and admittedly, I'm like their biggest supporter. I'm like, yes, go do this.
Good.
But it comes with an asterisk and a but and a caveat, and I'm going to set some real expectations for them. And one thing I do say to them is go and learn something hard first. And it doesn't matter what it is. So whether that is go and learn a new skill as an adult, whether at it that's you think it's perceived as really hard. So I do CrossFit, muscle ups are really hard. Go and learn a muscle up. Go and learn toaster bar. Go, if you're more musically inclined, go learn an instrument and learn it to a very competent level. Go and learn a language. Go and learn. I'm trying to think what's comparables. Go and learn a really some high skill advanced part of art. So I love doing realistic pencil drawing. Go and learn that skill. And when I, so what that teaches you is it teaches you how to keep problem solving. It keeps take it teaches you the gratification of learning a little victory, a little step as you go on a very singular goal, a common vision of what you're looking to or trying to achieve. And but it's the safety net, because the only thing that will go wrong about learning this skill or advanced skill and things, it's only your ego that's going to get hurt if you don't do it. And if, because if you can't do that, you can't do it. I don't think you can do, you won't have the skills to go and do a business. You won't be resilient enough. And the potential of you running and growing a business, lose, and obviously you're losing your income, you're losing your house, you're losing your car, you're losing your lifestyle. Those risks are far higher than learning an advanced skill. So it's almost giving you a safety net to go and figure some of those details out before it gets really tough. So that's my main one. And the reason why I said, oh, can I have two, is the second one is go and do Ikigai and go and do the hedgehog model. So the Ikigai is the very old Japanese methodology and approach. Hedgehog model is the modern business one. Principally, they do the same things. And it's again back to this energy focus. So it's what do you love doing? What will people pay for? What does the world need? Who are you trying to solve? You'll find that once you do this Venn diagram, you spend some time in that Venn diagram, you'll find in the middle that you'll be your sweet spot. And you'll know where to then spend your energy when you go into that entrepreneurship.
Amazing, thank you. Thank you very much for joining me. Where can people find you? And I will put some links and stuff around.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the big one is Dean. So it is just Charlie Knighton. Pretty big on Instagram. Like, I was not big on Instagram, but like, I'm always on my Instagram. So again, that's also Charles Knighton. And you can also get me on my website. I have a main corporate one, parent one, which is KUB-UK.net. But if you want more specific information around the fractional agency, it's more our global website. It is KUB-digital.io. And then finally, I also have a podcast, which is very easy. It's Charlie with Friends. It's on YouTube, it's on Spotify. And if you just type in my name the way I spell it, it will crop up. So Charlie. Yep.
Magic. Thank you very much for your time. It's always a pleasure to chat, and hopefully we'll do this again soon sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.